Good morning, everyone. Universal Energy Radio. This is the Lois Effect. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. Feels like such a long time.
I know, right?
I know. Yeah, it's been a week since I was on. I did listen to the show you guys did on Thursday, and it was quite good. I enjoyed it. I was entertained. So anyway, shout out to founder of Universal Energy Radio Media, Anna Bangalyn, your cousin, my dear friend, for, as always, stepping in when one of us can't do the show. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. It was very good. So, yes.
I'm glad.
And I think we have always done a show from the beginning on Thanksgiving.
We have, haven't we?
Yep, we have. I mean, years and years and years ago. And I remember being the designated person to cook for a lot of people. And I remember show day, and that turkey would be in the oven before I would start the show. It would have been in the oven for like a good hour.
Yeah.
And yeah. And this year we will do a show, still cooking, but with like a lot of people, it's so streamlined. Everybody's looking for a small turkey. Like
right.
Those big turkeys, they're going to be on sale for like 2 cents a pound because who's buying the big ass turkeys? And I actually spent more money on a smaller turkey because the price goes down per pound the bigger it is. They get cute.
Right.
But I'm like, you know what? I what's the point? Why have it take up so much space in my refrigerator, you know, defrosting, hours and hours to cook? Who's going to eat it?
I don't know. I think your boys could probably do a good job.
They could. They could. But also, too, they're very particular. I don't feel like eating it.
Well.
Yeah. And I really have an issue with food waste, so I'm pretty efficient with it to a degree. But I found, I think it was like a little under 11 pounds. It's the cutest turkey I ever saw in my life. So cute. And, yes, I will cook probably right after the show instead of starting it before the show. Start at 9:30, and then whenever it's ready, pack up a portion for my mom and go and see her for a little while. And and speaking of my mom, this made me very sad, but it's something I think that many of us have to face as time goes on and we all grow older. And I've been finding it, like, endearing and not freaking out with my mother's forgetfulness and short-term memory or, and I know you can relate to this, like, her truth is her truth, even if it's just her truth according to her, right? And, like, I'm not going to no Supreme Court justice. We're good. I don't need no DNA. We're good. I don't have to prove anything. You put your time in. I'm so thankful to you. I'm so thankful I still have you at 86 years old. So thankful. However, I got an email from my sister, and my mother asked her to pay her back for a loan that never existed.
Oh.
Like never existed. Now, the only person that has ever been in trouble over the years financially where I've gotten help from my mom and have paid her back, that would be me. But, you know, I'm the one with the kids and running these streets and whatever. That would be me. So my sister sends me an email And she said, this is awkward, but I just got off the phone with Mom. And she said she would like for me to pay her back the $1,000 that she lent me. She's like, I didn't lend her any money. So then look at how my sister, like, passive aggressive, and she's cute. And she's like, so when you see her on Thanksgiving, I know she prefers a variety of bills, so if you did borrow money from her, please pay her back. Bitch.
Wow.
So I wrote her back immediately. But see, people prejudge, and they, you know, and I've always been sort of like the loose cannon, or, you know, I really, if you want to call it anything, I've really been the fearless one in spite of the fear.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's a lot of repression. I've always felt this about my sister, who's a year older than me. I've always felt like I always felt that she was a lesbian since we were children. I'm like, girl, come out of that closet and be who you are. Please be who you are. Please, I mean, the outfit says it all, but please be who you are. Please be who, I mean, just put a silver chain on those jeans and she's ready to go. I mean, she is there. So repressed her whole life. I've always known it, always felt it, have deep, deep compassion for her, and have forgiven her. She used to beat the crap out of me growing
wow.
up. Yeah, but she's been very kind to me, to my kids. She's an amazing daughter to my mother. But mentally, there's some cracks in the foundation. We all have cracks in the foundation. But if it doesn't even occur to you to do any sort of work, and I would attribute this to my three siblings, then, of course, I'm going to be looked at as, like, you know, the sensitive one, the crazy one, whatever. But guess what? I'm the happy one. Yay! So, you pay the price for your happiness. You got to earn it. Anyway, so I write her back immediately, and I said, oh, my God, this makes me so sad. And I told her, and I knew exactly how to address it. And I said, yes, Mom lent me money 2 years ago when I had to pay for tuition. I paid her back about a year ago. This breaks my heart. And I said, when I go on Thanksgiving, I will not mention anything. So I'm banking on the fact that my mom's forgetful, and I'm just going to have a fabulous meal. And what's so beautiful about the relationship I have with my mother is that, yes, it's mother-daughter, but I lead with it's woman-to-woman. And I don't focus. I guess it's like a vibratory thing. I choose not to focus on the parts of her that are not as sharp. This is to be expected. If you're walking and you don't stop to rest, you will die of exhaustion. So my mother is entitled to let her mind rest with all the stuff she's been through her whole life. I don't see it as like we're losing her, she's slipping away. I feel so fortunate that she is as with it as she is. And when I connect with my mother in the present and in humor and in connection, she is the most vital with it person with so much to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting because my eldest sibling, again, very buttoned up, very prim and proper, rebelled as a teenager, but then everything got all, you know, zipped up by the time she was in her mid-20s, zipped it all up. And very measured, mannered, very much standing on ceremony, and a chronic planner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she will plan like 2 years. So I'm like, I don't even know what I'm going to do 2 minutes from now.
Wow.
But, okay, yeah. And she's, again, it's where you put your attention. talking about my mother's memory issues. I don't see them as issues. I'm like, her mind's tired. She's good. But whatever. And I'm not being in denial. I'm just focusing on what works and what's thriving. And she said, I think we need to talk about Mom after the holidays. I didn't even respond because I don't know what that means.
Mm.
I don't know what that means. So vibratory alignment, that's my default setting. So I've gotten back to listening to Esther Hicks. I've been doing that as my meditation practice. I found a podcast called Abraham Hicks New, and it's sound bites, 15 minutes or less of Abraham. I'm going to send you the link, and I love it. And so that's been my meditation practice for the past couple of days. And I just sit still and I meditate instead of doing a guided meditation or just being still and breathing. I'm being still and breathing, but I'm allowing the fundamentals of law of attraction through the expression of Esther Hicks channeling Abraham. But I'll send it to you. I like it because it's quick. And, it's been helping. And it's a great way to start. It's a great way to start your day. So I'm going to send it to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like what am I going to do? Like be devastated? There's nothing to be devastated. I don't know. I feel so fortunate. She's a little forgetful. I'm a little forgetful. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Am I in denial? I don't know. I don't think so. I'm embracing it.
But you seem to be the one that makes the time to see her regularly.
Well, my other sister does too, but it's more I have to really give my sister, the one that she needs to come out of that closet and be who she is. I give her a lot of credit because she is really, really there for my mother, but she treats my mother like she's almost, and I'm going to use this word very deliberately, it's a very old-fashioned word, like an invalid, because when you say that, it's like that you're no longer valid.
That's a word my mom uses when she is forced to be in the wheelchair to go to the airport.
Right, right, exactly. My mother would be, and the thing is, our parents, our mothers especially, they're very different, but like you and I, there are certain energetic things that are identical.
Mm-hmm.
Identical. And my mother gets very, she will push you out of her way if you make her feel like she's senile or fragile or whatever. I'm the opposite. I'm totally the opposite. I'm like, girl, sit down. I got to tell you some things. Oh, my God. And because I know she's going to forget that I tell her some things that maybe I shouldn't tell her, but I'm like, she's going to forget, and she's going to forget that, you know, she shouldn't be laughing at, you know, my dating life or escape. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. So, or we'll talk about, you know, raising kids or being in unhappy marriages and, connecting as women. So I do give my older sister a lot of credit because she will take care of like things like insurance and things with her apartment and like shop things like that. She's so good with that. I feel that as a woman acknowledging and honoring her wisdom and it keeping the spark of her womanhood going, I feel that's where I contribute. So my sister makes probably sees her more often than I do, to be honest. Maybe it's the same. Maybe it's the same, but I just in fairness to her.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it's changed a little bit. I don't think any of us see our parents very, very often, but now that they have a grandchild, They're definitely
right.
in closer contact with my brother, all
right.
through texting and pictures. You know, as you know, he'll,
right.
my brother will send pictures pretty much every day, which he knows is important because they
yes.
love that grandchild. How can you
it's
not?
Giving
like,
them life. They are living
yeah,
longer because
me
of the baby.
So I know
yeah.
what he sends them. So that sort of feeds it. And then my mom, because it's just the one cell phone between the two parents, my mom is the one that usually replies back. So that's good. I mean, she's at least engaged. And
right.
but, you know, listening to you, and I know how similar our situations are because of
right.
our
with,
parents.
Mm-hmm. We're children of immigrants, right? We're first generation.
Right.
right.
And it's interesting because, you know, like you've met my parents, you've met
oh,
a lot of my family,
yes.
and I've
yeah.
met your mother, and
yep.
it's that same feeling of, oh, you know, your mother is so awesome, you know, because
right.
just that one time of meeting your mom, and I'm like, I
yep.
get it, I get it.
Yeah.
But listening, it does make me think about, you know, how we handle our changes and how we handle. Getting older, and I obviously have another aspect of that living with my aunt, who is younger
right.
than my mother. It's my
right.
my dad's sister, younger than my mother, and in a different situation. So
right.
it's been, and it's not been easy for me because I don't normally hang out with people who are elderly. I've definitely hung out with people who are older. But to see the changes, and then
yeah.
to notice them in myself as well, like crap,
yes.
you know.
I know.
It's not
oh,
easy.
It's sobering.
It's not easy. And it's not even just the physical part. And I will let me just pause for a moment because I know I see we have a hand raised. So
okay.
caller, I will get to you in a moment. We'll segue in, but I wanted
yeah.
to kind of round out the conversation because you started off with you know with family stuff and with your mother,
right?
So for me to notice, I don't think we don't tend to praise. We all praise youth because of the potential and all the dreams and I get
right.
you know not having a child and not really ever wanting a child, but
right.
but raising helping to raise some you know some nieces and a nephew. And just seeing the potential and seeing them develop, that is pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
And yet, I also get to see how people are as they get older. And I didn't, I met both of my grandmothers, but there's only one that I really got to see on a regular basis because she was here in the States. I never saw my grandfathers, never met them. So I didn't have a lot of that growing up. I had the one Lola that was just, wow, you know, she's still like on this pedestal for everybody in our family. You know, even, you know, decades after she's passed. And so to not know a lot, not to pay attention really just with my parents, because that's who I know. And it's been weird to see in the last say 20 years to notice you know, the changes and how they are physically and then mentally and even to some degree spiritually and just sort of making these mental notes for me and then noticing me in comparison to, say, some of the students that I was, you know, in charge of years ago, you know, even 10 years ago. Like I did a seminar on self-care last week.
Right.
And I'm part of this group where we're helping the now volunteers who are technically my peers, but some of them are probably a little bit younger and just realizing I feel so out of the loop because I'm not around that energy anymore.
Right.
I mean, I feel very out of the loop. I feel like I'm definitely that crotchety old parent, like, you know, you young whippersnappers. I kind of feel like that, you know. And it's kind of funny, but there's a part of me that's like, well, that's just what it is. Like, my viewpoint will be a little bit different. My filter will be a little bit different. And that's okay. I'm like, I just have to get over that. I can't let it hamper me, because I certainly can't switch back into, well, let me just get into the swing of things. I'm like, because that doesn't feel, I don't feel like I'm 30 something anymore. I don't feel like I'm 20 something anymore. I already know
right.
that.
Right.
I know that. I just know. And I, in fact, there are times when I feel a little out of touch with people that I do consider my peers. So that kind of ranges from late 30s, early 40s, right? That's
right.
That sort of ranged for me to early 50s. And,
right.
And there are times that I'm like, I would say in the last week or so, where I felt like, wow, I've isolated myself a little too much to kind of be out of the loop on a lot of things. And I haven't quite decided if that's a bad thing. You know, I think there's like it just feels different.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I've just noticed. But, you know, growing older is not usually something that a lot of people talk about in glowing terms of wisdom or
right.
Of
right.
something of value necessarily.
Right.
It's more of,
right.
you know, aches and pains and
right.
Nostalgia and
right.
wishing for easier days, you know. And
right.
I think that idea of the good old days is just, it's just a remembrance of being in a comfort zone.
Right.
That was just easier to handle. Like, you didn't have to think too much about it. You just kind of did.
Right.
You did it and you were in it and it was very present. And when you start noticing these differences, like in how you feel, like, you know, I couldn't get out of bed this morning, or, you know, or this cold, like I actually was sick for the last few days. This cold that I got from my niece.
Yes, I heard of it. Yes, I remember hearing that. Yes.
All of that. It's like, wow, it did take me the better part of the weekend, all of the weekend, and then part of yesterday to feel better.
Right.
And then a few more days before that. So I get it. So I'm thinking, this is me not quite, you know, 50 yet. And these are my parents who are 30-something years older than I am.
Right.
So I can't imagine in the
right.
stretch of that time,
but
all the stuff that they've had to overcome and just kind of live through.
Right. Right. That's right. That's right.
So I'm like, you know, these are some, they're tougher. They're made of tougher stuff. And because I come from
right.
them, so am I.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Let's take this call, cause I want to circle back, cause we could spend a whole show having this conversation.
Oh, maybe we do that. Maybe we do that.
Yeah.
All right. This
yeah.
is,
we could have a whole show talking about that. Let's, yeah.
678. Hello, you're on the air. Who's this?
Oh. Okay, bye. Hang up.
Okay.
Hang up. Okay. Yeah. So, we could have a whole conversation about this anyway. But, you know, the days of and we've been so fortunate doing this show for about 11 years, we could probably count on less than two hands, maybe just one hand, you know, if we get like a troll or, when they come, they're good. You know, we've had some crazy, very rare, but crazy, either calls or crazy comments in the chat over the years. So it's a law of averages. So yeah, I wasn't going to entertain. I don't know if somebody was doing their tribute to Jaws. I have no idea what that was. That's okay. I don't think it was a bad connection. I think it was just, you know, if it was a bad connection, they can call back. But I think that was, I don't know what that was. But
yeah.
I'm glad that I sent you this Esther Hicks podcast, and basically it's not even a podcast, it's just someone who has worked, not maybe directly with her, but someone who has seen her live many times or what have you, just put this podcast together where all it is, it's just an excerpt of a talk. There's no conversation from the podcast host or whatever. It's like there's like a theme or a title, 15 minutes, you're done.
Mm.
Okay. And I'm starting, yeah, I started from the beginning. So I think they launched it last February. So I'm working myself from the bottom up every day until I decide to do something else as my meditation practice. And I have to tell you, it's so helpful to show you possibilities of perception, you know, and deciding, making choices as to what your focus will be on. And I think the most helpful as of late is focusing on the feeling, not appropriating responsibility or where that feeling is coming from, or that I'm obligated to the source of where that feeling is coming from, but it's like follow the feeling. So let's use an example. My relationship with my mom. So the feeling I want to have a feeling of connection, love, and vitality, and joy with my mother for as long as we are fortunate enough to have her still amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, oh my God, I've seen her vulnerability now. Oh my God, she's really getting forgetful. Oh my God, that never happened when I was in the eighth grade. But okay, oh my God, like none of that. Instead of it's like, oh my God, she looks beautiful. Oh my God, that was so funny when I told that story and she just started cracking up. Oh my God, the advice she just gave me about finances or whatever. That's what I'm choosing to focus on. Is it denial? No, it's focus. I'm not denying that she's forgetful and she's getting older, and I know every day that she's with us is a gift. Every day that we're on, you know, experiencing this life is a gift. I get that. But I'm also claiming that these are my best days.
Right.
And I'm looking forward to better days. I'm always have lived my life with the intention of finishing strong. Not really focusing on how I got there, the scrapes along the way, but finishing strong. So I'm very grateful that I live with these two heathens because, you know, 15 and a half, almost 15 and a half, and almost 22, because that keeps everything front and center for, like, what is going on with the rest of the world, because I'm not really paying attention to, you know, the kids. I mean, I am because I have them, but you know what I'm saying? To that awareness, and also how do I, and it's challenging, you know, I'm 10 years older than you. It's challenging. How do I move forward to dissolve those paradigms to bind me, and that I want to be better today than I was 10 years ago on every level, body, mind, and spirit? How do I make that possible? Now, I started week two of the yoga body, gravity yoga. Is it, girl? And the first day, I'm like, oh, this isn't bad. The third day, okay, so there's this one, and I think today is day three of this week. So I do it Sunday. I do it Sunday through I don't even know what I do. But anyway, I do it 5 days on, 2 days off. So for this week, this is day three. Day three last week was really painful. And did you do the third day?
No, I've been sick, so I've not.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. You have it. Okay, let me just give you a heads up. Yeah, you want to wait till you're better. Day three is, I think it's back and shoulder, back and shoulders. And this guy, who's great, who coaches you along, and worth every penny. It was like $40. Mm-hmm. And basically, you get a bunch of bells and whistles, but really what you get five guided stretching workouts to address different parts of your body. There's all these other things I don't use. So basically, that's what you're getting for these five videos. Really worth the investment. And I do it at night before I go to bed, and it really has helped me. But day three, back and shoulders, so the guy who's facilitating it, he's like, yes, sometimes you might have an emotional reaction to this. Stick with it. The tears. And there's something about the back and the shoulders, especially the shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my God. Now, I'm not trying to – I'm not in competition with myself or with anybody. I'm not trying to stretch the furthest, bend the deepest. Hell no. I'm just trying to hold the pose for as long as he recommends.
Right.
And that's been, in some cases not, but in other cases challenging, where all of a sudden you're shaking
mm-hmm.
or you're whatever, but where there's energy or trauma trapped in the body. So I'm thankful to you for recommending Gravity Yoga, the flexibility series. But, yes, I recommend two things. Make that space. Make a really good space. Clear some space in your room to not have anything in your way. That's been very helpful. And it's a little more challenging than I thought it would be, but I'm sticking with it.
Mm.
I'm sticking with it, and I know that every day I will become a little more flexible, a little more. It's quantum, in my opinion, it's going to be quantum, but it's something to stick with. So I like the bookends of Abraham Hicks in the morning, stretching at night, working out in between, and focusing on the feeling. So that's vitality, usefulness, agelessness, joy. I'm not going to have any more birthdays. I'm done. I'm done. We stopped. We stopped. That's it. That's it. I'm not going to get into that rabbit hole because you could see how it's a rabbit hole. And focus on the feeling. It was very interesting because on a restless weekend night, you know, with this daylight savings, between COVID and daylight savings, 4:30, it's like, bitch, why is it dark?
Right.
4:30. And that is, you know, I really wish somebody who had a clue would have said, you know what? Let's not do it this time because it could be 7 o'clock at night and I feel like it's 11 and I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my God. And I don't want to go to bed early because I don't want to be up at 2 a.m, you know, but our options are so limited. So every once in a while to shift gears, I'll scroll around and maybe there's a movie online, not a movie I can see on demand. And I actually saw this really quirky film called Hampstead, and Hampstead is an area in England, and it was a movie that came and went like 2 years ago. Diane Keaton is in it, so Diane Keaton must have been in her early 70s, and it was so perfect because Diane Keaton is still Diane Keaton, and it was a love story, and not one mention of like ageism or growing older or whatever. It was like two unlikely people connecting during extreme circumstances. And it was a sweet, lovely movie about two people falling in love and how beautiful that is. And I said, okay, there's a reason why I stumbled upon this little obscure independent film that Diane Keaton made. And what was so great is that she dressed the way Annie Hall would dress if Annie Hall was in her 70s. And I was copying, like, yes, girl, wear that outfit, girl, yes. Oh, my God, go ahead. Okay, I like that beret. Go ahead. Yes, a belted blazer. Yes, Diane Keaton. Yes, Annie Hall work. And she didn't look ridiculous. She was just being her. What I liked about the two characters, because she kind of ended up with a homeless person.
Huh?
This really unlikely, from Ireland, really unlikely love story. And what I loved about these two flawed characters, they were very clear about who they are and all the imperfections that go with that. It was very sweet. It's called Hand.
Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. And I'm like, okay, there's a reason why I'm watching this. Thank you. Yeah, 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 yeah. And I don't want to focus on, you know, I'm done, it's over. I did that. I did that during my marriage and then coming out of it. Well, I guess in the next life, I'll know what it's like to experience passion or vitality as a woman. Next life, I would always say this. I guess I had to sacrifice that. This was the rationale in my mind. When all the spiritual shifts were taking place and the energies were showing up, and this is over 15 years ago, I said, well, I guess that's a sacrifice. I'm going to have suppress who I am as a woman, as a passionate being, so that I can create space for this spiritual work. That was like my warped justification, because I had the responsibility of being a mother and wanting to keep my marriage going and just sort of rationalizing in my mind, well, there's not room for that in this life. Because you have work to do with communicating these energies.
Mm.
That wasn't the case. That's not the truth. But I convinced myself of that. That's what I focused on. I focused on the sacrifice to justify the lack of true passion and connection in my life where it came to a romantic partner. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah. So I thought I was done. I really thought I was done. And a year and a half post-divorce, I thought I was done. Until one fateful night, I got asked out. Like, oh, completely by accident. If that didn't happen, I would still think, probably be have a lot of aches. I probably would be in a very different place. And not doing the work that I'm doing now, not investing on my, you know, in my vitality and in breaking through the paradigms of ageism and living my best days today and moving forward. Corona, no corona, single mom, no single mom, boyfriend, no boyfriend, has nothing to do with that. It's, again, which is why I'm so appreciative of listening to Esther Hicks every day now as a meditation practice. Following the feeling, and that whatever happens is not connected to a person, place, or thing. It's connected to the feeling. And even the contrasted feelings are valuable because they are showing you where you can go, meaning from that place to a better feeling place. Yeah. I don't have the luxury of putting things feeling. I don't have the luxury of putting feeling good off anymore. That's it. That's a good quote.
I think so too.
Yeah. Yes, it is no longer a luxury to put off feeling good. Don't have it. So this needs to be my life. Intention for the rest of my life shifting towards feeling good, feeling better, and not attributing that to any specific outside source. You know, if he'd only call me, I'd be happy. No. Nope, not true. If my kids would only clean the room, nope, not true. If my mother would only remember a little bit, nope, not at all. If this frown round, this frown line would go away, nope. Just use a little extra moisturizer, you're fine. That's it. That, I think, is the key to self-care. And it's such a buzzword, self-care, self-care, self-care. But no one's really saying self-care is understanding that it's to follow the feeling of goodness. And don't put it on anybody. So we are our own generators. It's like a power plant. We are our own power plants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so important. And when we see the fragility of our parents, and we know how quickly time flies, these days are so sacred and so precious. Like, wow. It's so sobering.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think, yes, go ahead.
No, I'm just taking it all in because, you know, obviously, for the last few days, because all I've really done is sleep. I mean, I've had weird, you know, weird dreams, not bad
right.
dreams, but, you know, a lot of dreams. And I know that I've just needed to rest and whatever that needed to do. A lot
yep.
of times I just stayed in bed, and I've had my Kindle. So I was just, you know, just reading. I haven't really read
mm-hmm.
a lot of books in a while. Like, I go through these cycles where, like, oh, I'm just, you know, what's the next escape? What's the next book? And then it's like nothing for, you know, feels like years. Like, I don't have time to read. You know, I'll read some self-help stuff sporadically,
right.
but I'm not going to read just a story.
A novel or whatever. Right.
Right. And I did a lot of that this weekend, which was perfect for me.
Beautiful.
Because, you know, I just fall asleep and it was just easy.
Right.
It was easy. And it just took my mind off of.
Yes.
You know, not feeling so great. But it also, you know, got me thinking, as I am prone to do, I think a little bit every so often.
Do you?
Yes.
I know.
It's
that
weird.
You tend to think. Yeah.
I know.
I've heard that.
But, you know, it would bring up, even in these stories I'm reading, very lighthearted stuff,
uh-huh.
it still would bring up these different dynamics of, you know, of relationships, you know, family relationships in particular. Like, okay. This is, you know, like, for me, it's the equivalent of a meditation of,
right.
you know, sometimes you come up with your best ideas when you're like washing dishes and your mind
That's
is
right.
not
in the shower,
focused
right.
on, mm-hmm. on having to solve the world's problems. You're just trying to, you know, clean up some dinner plates. And in that space, of doing something that's mindless, quite literally mindless.
Right.
There are things that end up seeping through that click, like just part of it, just enough to get your attention so that you can still continue, you know, in your state of mindlessness. But it's like, okay, I'll file that away. No problem. And so I had a lot of that this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So listening to you is still part of that. This conversation is part of that. And then then the next part for me then is, you know, what am I going to do about it? Like, what am I going to
mm-hmm.
create with that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm just sort of listening in, because I think it's, I have, you know, I have certain questions that I because I could ask, what does that mean? Like, I knew I had some spiritual work to do, but you know, like, what does that mean? And does this little bit of pain, is that part of it? And then, you know, bigger picture questions for me, like I'd mentioned, like feeling out of the loop and feeling like I'm not doing what everyone else is doing. And part of it is because I'm very stubborn. And part of it is
be specific. When you mean, are you not doing what everybody else is doing?
Well,
like, what do you mean?
Like, well, right now, for example, I've got a couple of people that I know who are in the process. Like, they put offers on homes, and they're in the process of moving.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's exciting, and it's, you know, I'm looking at. They sent me links of, you know, what they're looking at. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And in some cases, it's moving out of state. It's picking up and moving. And of course, they're moving out of state to a place where they have family close by.
A lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But these are not small homes. Like, these are, you know, if they're making the move, they're committing to, like, a really nice space for them, and which of course it makes sense, but then there's a part of me, like, you know, here I've got house stuff I've got to look at for my aunt, because obviously there are things that she is not going to be able to take care of unless I initiate
it.
But it's like it's such a huge responsibility,
right.
and there's a part of me that feels like, you know, I don't know how to do these things. And I'm not the one paying for them necessarily, you know, not monetarily.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, so that weighs heavy on my mind. There are a lot of things that, like, I would not want her to do anything with this house, or to, I don't want the house. I want the house to be better. It needs to be healthy. And right now,
it's so important. Mm-hmm.
It's not. Like, right now, so there's that fear of the unknown. Like, I don't know how much is it going to cost. For one thing, we do know, like, the roof. We know how much it's going to cost. But the other stuff, like, to get rid of mold and that kind of stuff, I don't know. And so there's a part of me that's like, she can't stay in this house if she doesn't want to fix it. You know,
no,
and I can't stay in this house because I used to live in a house that was like that. And my brother finally fixed it all.
I mean, yes,
you know?
No, this is, I understand exactly what you're saying. It's almost like, it's like this pattern.
Right.
Maybe have the this is crazy, but maybe have the conversation about if she could live anywhere besides, you know, that house. What would that look like to her?
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe she's afraid to voice that change.
Maybe.
You know? Because sometimes you could be so surprised. She could, well, I didn't want to upset you, or I didn't know what you, or maybe you thought you, I wanted you, that you, maybe that you wanted to be in the house or whatever.
Right.
But this is, you know, this is like a crossroad, so it makes sense that you're feeling these things, and it's so overwhelming. I really get that. It is so overwhelming, and then you feel kind of isolated and on your own. Maybe it's a conversation for you to have a conversation, just you and your father, because that's her brother.
Mm-hmm.
And just to say, you know, what do you think the options are? Maybe get his advice. Because it literally should not fall on your shoulders. You know, when you do day three of the stretch program, those shoulders are going to be, girl... Oh my God! Because when he said, you know, the emotion and all that, and and it hurt, and I'm like, I didn't know stretching was supposed to be painful. Ow! But it's a great challenge. It's a beautiful challenge because I see what it's about. But very interesting, you know, you're seeing these people that are your peers that are moving into these long-term commitment situations.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Girl, right? Okay, so that's really what that's about. Long-term commitment, being in for the long haul, right? Not something that interests you now, because I think your freedom is what interests you, I believe.
That's always interested me. That's why I don't own a home.
Girl, hello, look at us, right. Freedom has, oh, me too. All about the freedom. That's why when I knew the marriage was done, I felt like I couldn't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
All about freedom. I know people say, never say never. I could say, bitch, I will never get married again. Period. End. Put a gun to my head. No. Freedom. And also to be the only person making decisions for myself. Right? Because that's still new for me, because I was married for so long. So and that freedom of that, like, oh, my God, like, no one is micromanaging my life. This is amazing. Like, I'm running the show here. So it's freedom. Also, it wasn't until you left the home that you shared with your brothers, that your brother is now with his family,
mm-hmm.
that it didn't turn around. It was after you left.
Yes.
Right? Here you are with your aunt. There are things that need to happen with the house. And I feel before you feel like it's that your place, that your environment deserves better, that you deserve better in your environment. And I can relate to this. This is why I had Anna and Amy shift my space, and then Anna really shifted last year, and I look forward to having Anna back to continue that.
Mm-hmm.
Because environment, your internal and your external environment is so important. And when there's other people involved, you know, I have my kids that sort of, you know, interfere, or they're in the way, or they're slobs or whatever. You know, you have your aunt that she's kind of afraid, you know, or complacent, or she doesn't quite know, and she has her fears. And the thing is with your aunt, she's not one to express really what's going on.
Mm. Right.
So you're left to your own devices, and because you're so hyper-wired to overthink, I feel that you're not painted into a corner, and I feel that along with seeking relief with your physical health, it's tied into seeking relief in your environment. But you are not obligated. You are not burdened. You do not have an albatross around your neck weighing you down. None of that's going on. I don't know. I feel very strongly. Ask your father for some advice. Maybe she wants to move into a condo or something.
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe sell the house. I don't know.
Yeah, I think she'd get a lot for it, given the location.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's that. I've been to that house. This house is on such a hill. You need to, like, get your hiking boots. It is on such a high hill. And maybe she's afraid to express that she wants to change. Maybe she feels she's going to be disloyal to her deceased husband.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's also just, it's a Taurus way. Like, you don't make a lot of changes. Trust me. I know.
I know. But change is the gateway to freedom. But change or embracing change. But a kind of, yeah, go ahead.
Let me bring in, because I know Lolita has been texting me, so I know she just raised her hand. Let me bring her in.
Oh, good.
Hey, girl.
Hey.
We on the same page as the first card I pulled.
Change. Girl.
Yep.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
You sound fabulous. Well, I know you're doing good. I follow you on Instagram. Know you're doing good.
I know you do. Thank you.
Yes. Love you.
Thank you. Love you guys, too.
Yeah.
But
so
yeah.
I want to hear what you have to say.
No, I was just going to say, like, she's going to have to really have to have that heart-to-heart talk. Mm-hmm. And that's something that thing is a challenge culturally also when you have that big family dynamic. And you just got to put your step forward and just have that conversation. And there's no need for you not to feel any type of freedom, any type of mobility or anything like that. Now think about your shoulders. They take the weight onto the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So just go into that with her and just see where the doors open up, but it's not your obligation to be there to help her co-create that story.
Right.
It's time for you to co-create your own journey and your
yes,
own story.
Yes, you know, her husband. Is
that, that's right.
And, yeah, girl. And then these physical things that are coming up in you, it's probably your DNA is trying to repair itself, right? Because Lola, you know, we see each other. The DNA is in self-repair because it's probably screaming for freedom.
I just did a DNA repair on my whole female line, on my mother's line, because we all came to an aha moment that we all have hormonal issues. So for the last 2 years, and we had this conversation, each one of my cousins has that. Well, it goes beyond that. Goes their ancestors. We took on that contract. Kirstie Dunn healed that. It's taken a week to clear up all that, repaired our DNA, so we no longer serve that, no longer have that condition upon us anymore. So yes, girl, everything is definitely embedded in the DNA.
There you go. And maybe Elisa, if you Google the Sofregiol scale for repair, I think it's 528 to repair broken DNA, because I think that's, and Lolita, I love this because we're in the same like energetic understanding that's what's going on. And I think before you talk to your aunt, I don't know, I just feel like it would be an opportunity to have a very mature conversation with your dad to seek his counsel.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd be very curious to see how that all panned out. And Lolita, I was talking to my kids, not kids anymore, but, you know, 15 and almost 22, and I said, when we can travel again, I want to take both of you guys to Atlanta. I want to see my friends. And I love that you called in, because I just said that to them like 2 days ago. Like certain places I want to check. I'm talking about traveling. Yeah, yeah. So, 2021, people are going to be traveling. Once we get that vaccine, let's go. We got people to see. Let's go.
I don't know, girl. That's another story in itself, but we're not going to talk about that on air.
Oh, girl, please don't tell me. Girl, please don't tell me. Like, are we okay? Let me ask you this, because we're not going to go into any conspiracy theory or whatever. But let me ask you this. Do you feel vaccine, no vaccine, whatever, that we're going to be able to be safe and free to travel and do what we used to do?
Well, if you trust your creator and trust your karmic contract, everything is already written out. And if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And if no one understands, this is only pneumonia on steroids, and it's a part of a spiritual reset. Underlying issue is take care of your health.
Take
care of your health. You won't give that power over anything else.
There's
no vaccine, no nothing that can cure this. All it is be healthy. It's part of our journey. It's a global consciousness.
Yes, I agree with all of that. All right, so we'll visit you at your ice cream store. Okay, got it. Well, we love you so much, and I'm so proud of you. You're doing so well.
And hold on, I'm going to leave you on this note. Question.
Yes.
If the flu vaccine does not work for nobody, why is everyone rushing for a vaccine that's not going to do anything besides take your DNA and use it for other purposes?
Oh, girl.
Oh.
You know what I'd love for you to do?
Yes.
You know, because you know when we're on. You know when we're on. Call in like earlier in the show because I would love to hear what you have to say. There's certain people. There's certain listeners that I'm like, I don't want to hear what you have to say about that. But
well, but you know, here's the thing: the universe is big. If you choose to walk with a narrow mind, then so be it. You know what I mean?
But your listener, I would like to hear you speak on it. So please, whenever it's convenient for you, call in earlier in the hour because I'd love to be like, I want to hear. I would like to hear Miss Lolita's spin on things.
That would be cool.
That would be amazing. So love to you. Continued success with the business. Love to Adam when you talk to him. And all is well, my friend.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
Beautiful
Lita,
girl.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Yeah, so just to wrap this up, I think that's very, very interesting, you know, what she said.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very interesting. Yeah. So would love for her to call in where it's almost like she could be like the third co-host talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so... Can't really disagree when she's talking because of the vitality and the health and all of that. That has been, from the beginning of this corona nonsense, that's been like the goal from day one for me, like higher vibrancy, health, body, mind, and spirit, stay strong, keep your immunity up, all of that. This is why the shifting with, okay, how do I keep it about the feeling. Same thing for you. So now you're at a turning point where you have choices, Elisa.
Mm-hmm.
You are not painted into a corner. So you can see what the possibilities are. And I don't know why I am giving you the guidance to talk to your father, but that's making sense. That's making sense to me. Talk to him first.
Okay.
But you don't have to sign up for anything right now with the house. And maybe make a list before you talk to him of funnel. Start with the big things and have it funnel down to the small things.
Okay.
Yeah. And we'll see what happens with that. So, great conversation.
Mm.
I look forward for it to continue on Thanksgiving. So, if you guys need to get a hold of us, you can email loablend@gmail.com. And we're scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday, Thanksgiving Day in the United States at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. As always, stay safe, wear your mask, let the light do the work. And to brighter days ahead. Thank you, Lolita, for calling in. We love you. Call us back. And until next time, stay safe. Love you.
Love you all. Thanks.
Bye.